of this month. Praise God. So I'm excited about that. We have a team coming on the 5th to join us there for a couple weeks. And so the Lord's doing wonderful things. You know, it just, Pastor Joe had said the other day, he said, you know, the things that Tom is experiencing, he could not have had it been really formed or developed any other way. He's just, there's just one been one divine appointment after another, and I could not possibly go into all of it today, but every day he calls and he tells me of something amazing that's taken place, and so we're very excited about that, the connections he's making and the people he's meeting, and we ask that you just still continue to pray for him and that God will direct us very clearly about the work that we're to have there. Right now he's working with Holocaust survivors. He's been to two birthday parties. One turned 96 and the other 91. he's been to a funeral of a Holocaust survivor. And it's just been many, many things, but he's there showing the love of Jesus as God directs him to do that. So continue to pray for him and our family as we're endeavoring to move in that direction. So this morning, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to everybody, but before I get into the message, I want to pray and commit this to the Lord. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to share what I believe is on your heart this morning, and I pray that we would just be willing to open our hearts to your word and to your love, that for those of us that might have come in a little bit guarded today, I pray that that guard would just be let down and that your word would be able to go forth. I pray for an anointing. I ask that you would speak beyond the things that I say, and that you would ultimately bring about fruit for your kingdom, fruit for your good pleasure, that healing would come where healing is necessary. And so I just commit this word to you and ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to also say, I think we've covered lots of different areas of motherhood today, but I want to say a happy Mother's Day to the spiritual moms that are here. There are a whole bunch of you in this congregation, and I'm grateful for you. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I kind of fall into that category because I'm one of the older women teaching the younger women. I had to say, yeah, that's me, older woman. But it's a joy and it's a gift that God has given us to be able to impart spiritual truth. So happy Mother's Day to you all as well. We really appreciate spiritual moms, don't we? You know, when we don't have our own birth mothers that are spiritually minded necessarily, we have, God always brings us spiritual moms, and it's such a gift to us. But I know for some of you today is a difficult day. You know, I've met people that dread this day. In fact, I would say that there are some that didn't show up this morning because it was a day that they really did not want to participate in or would rather not. It might be because they no longer have their mother, or maybe they themselves have never been a mother, or maybe it's because they lost a child and it's painful to remember that loss. Maybe they did not have a good relationship with their mother at all. And I'm not going to apologize for the message today to be about motherhood, because, guys, you're going to get that opportunity here next month in June. It'll be all about you. But I am hoping that in the words that the Lord has given me to share, that there will be a message that our men can receive as well. And even those of you that are not necessarily mothers, that you'll be able to receive something as well. Because I really do believe that it's from the Father's heart this morning. This is really this change, how everybody feels, the experiences that people have had sort of dictate how they feel about this particular holiday. So many different emotions can be involved. But regardless of where you are in this day we call Mother's Day, we can choose to honor those who have made a significant impact in our life. There's no way that I could take 30 minutes and express the honor that you as women deserve, you as mothers deserve. It's not possible. I trust that you feel honored today. I trust that there'll be those in your life that will bring you a sense of joy and honoring you for the position that you have. I pray that you feel cherished today as a mother. Mothers are amazing people, and they have so many expectations on them at so many levels, and they just have never-ending responsibilities, don't they? So I came across this little video that some of you might have seen already. It came out about a month ago is when I saw it, and I just asked Michael to play it because I thought it was really wonderful. So anyway, let's just watch that real quick. Let me get the lights maybe.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi. Nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's
That's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Moms are amazing. They're amazing. This morning, I really felt the need to speak to those of you that are hurting, to those of you that this might not be such a happy occasion. I don't know, sometimes it just seems like these holidays come with a boatload of expectations. And Hallmark doesn't really address some of the real core pain that women carry. It's always supposed to be happy and joyful and sunny and fun. But I truly believe that this morning God wants to bring some healing and some joy and some peace and hope to those who might be struggling on this Mother's Day. You see, moms hurt like no one else hurts. Children can bring great joy. And our children have the ability to bring even a greater amount of pain than anyone else can. It's because God created a mother's heart to bond so deeply with that child in such a profound way. It's been said at times that a mother can literally feel the sorrow of her child, though they might be far away. There's a coined phrase about a mother's intuition, but I believe it's really a gift of discernment that God gives moms to understand when that child is in danger or when they're hurting. Moms also have an exclusive club. They have their own lingo. They understand each other. Moms understand sleepless nights and sick days. They understand cheerleading over the smallest of victories. I get text messages from my two daughters that are mothers, and it'll say, you know, we're doing the happy dance because Emma just went potty on the potty chair. And I get that text like when I'm at Walmart in aisle 12. And so I start doing the happy dance. And some lady is looking at the crackers next to me, and she's like, what's going on? I said, Emma went potty on the potty chair. And she's like, that's awesome. And then everybody, all the women in aisle 12 are doing the happy dance in Walmart. See, moms are like that. They understand those little victories and the excitement that comes from it. That's when dads say, I'm so glad I'm not a mother. See, moms understand mama bear syndrome. They understand mismatched outfits and Fruit Loops as a main food group. It is such a unique position that God has given us. Moms also understand pain. They understand the pain that only a mother can feel. We cry when we hear of a child who's experienced something horrible, and we think, oh, I can't imagine what that mother must be going through. I remember when my child was that age. It might be the pain of losing a child. It might be the pain of a rebellious child. It might be the pain of rejection or the pain of sickness, the pain of failed expectations, maybe the pain of that first heartbreak. Just so many different wounds causing so many different tears. A mother's concern begins from the moment she holds that newborn. The time clock begins to tick. And you long for that baby to stay a baby. Because you understand that soon enough, they're going to begin to experience the suffering and the ache that this life causes. If you could, you'd shelter that baby from every ounce of suffering. You know that one day those decisions that they are going to make for themselves, you'll have no control over. You can only pray that they'll have wisdom, the wisdom that you imparted all those years, that they'll make the right decisions. The other day I was outside with Naomi, my daughter, and she and the kids were outside playing, and I was out there with them, and we live at Calvary Commission First House when you come through the gate. Many of you have been out there. You know this is just a single car road. It's not, we don't have a lot of traffic, but we do have people that pass by often. And so Israel is 2 and Bethany's 3. And they're out by the road. And Israel loved to take this big ball half his size, and he kind of throws it up on the road and it rolls back to him. He stands on the grass and it rolls back to him. And Bethany came running over to play with him, and she takes the ball and she throws it harder than he did, and it went on the other side of the road. And so both of them go running across the road without looking for cars or anything. And Naomi's like, oh boy, teachable moment. So she goes over to them, and she's standing on the opposite side of the road with them, and one's on either side of her. And she gets the ball and she throws it back on the other side of the road, and she says, now, Bethany, you know better. Mama's told you over and over, when you cross the road, you need to stop and look both ways for cars. And so Bethany says, yes, ma'am. And she says, now show me how you're going to go get that ball. So she bends her little body over, and she looks to the left. Long time. I mean, that she looks to the other side long, long time. And Naomi said, any cars coming? She says, no, ma'am. And she said, you can go across the road and go get the ball. So she runs across the road, and Israel's standing next to Naomi. And Bethany comes back over. She turns around, she gets the ball, and she's now on the other side of the road, and she looks way to one side for cars and way to the other side for cars. No cars coming. She comes back over. She gives the ball to Israel. So Israel's standing there with the ball with Naomi next to him and Bethany on the other side. And Naomi said, I'm so proud of you, Bethany. That's exactly what you need to do. Remember, Mama's taught you this. You need to look both ways. And she said, yes, ma'am. And Israel throws the ball across the road and runs across the road. And Naomi just looks at me totally exhausted. She's like, oh, my word. But see, it's never ending. That position of continual instruction never ends for a mom. And we know as moms that we need to just continue to teach and to instruct and to direct, because one day that very decision may save their lives. One day we'll not be standing by their side to tell them what to do. This is something deeply ingrained into the heart of every mother that knows this to be true. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. You see, God has given us instruction to teach our children his truths to be taught all day long. Every moment, when we walk and when we sit and when we lie down and when we go here and there, every moment we're to be teaching our children. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because God is trying to keep you as a mother from a broken heart. He's trying to keep you from that broken heart. I speak with mothers all the time whose hearts are torn because of decisions that their children have made after they're grown. Sometimes that pain is so deep. It's so deep. They have to remind themselves to breathe. I said to my children when they had grown up to be teenagers, I know that you love me, and I'm so thankful for that. I can stand here today and tell you that my children love me. I know that. And I'm so very grateful. However, I said to them, you will never love me as deeply as I love you. It's not possible. It's not even possible. You see, and this is true for every parent. It's a mirror of God's love, really. We love God the Father, and yet we'll never love him more than he loves us. It's not possible. We've been given tremendous responsibility to oversee the care of these children that God has placed in our lives. And in the process, our hearts are going to be pierced. You remember when Mary and Joseph went to the temple to dedicate Jesus? There was a man there named Simeon, and he prophesied about baby Jesus. We find that story in Luke 2:33. I want to just read 33 and 34. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he said to Mary, and a sword will pierce your heart. Soul also. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was forewarned that a sword would pierce her own soul too. The same could be said to every mother ever created. A sword will pierce your soul. not something you really want to write about in a baby shower card. But it's true. Nevertheless, it is true. Many, many women could tell you story after story of those times. Mary suffered tremendous sorrow. Her escape to Egypt to protect her son from being killed. The time that she panicked because her young boy could not be found in the crowd while leaving Jerusalem. What about when Jesus stood up to her as a man the first time at that wedding? The day that she watched him be crucified. Certainly. Certainly the sword pierced her heart. But what about those 30 years that aren't really written about? What about the sorrows of just normal motherhood? Watching your child skin their knee. The first time he's treated unjustly. The cruelty of other children. The first time they're left alone in children's church. The night that you decide to let them cry it out. The plethora of events that take place in the life of a child. And mom's heart gets pierced time and time again. At the heart of every mother is the need to protect, the need to nurture and shield that child from any harm. And regardless of how old that child becomes, they want to keep that baby from suffering and making wrong choices. I believe that Jesus understood that, because he witnessed his very own mother suffering such agony while watching him die. This scene that she stood by and watched, this scene that strong men fled from, she as a mother stood. Mary, who watched her son beaten and dragged through the street of Jerusalem, stood and watched the nails driven into his hands and feet. She saw the cross be raised in the air. She didn't faint. She didn't falter. She stood there. She never left his side. That's the position of a mother. You see, every mother knows there's going to come a day when she's going to have to watch that child. Maybe not physically be crucified, but spiritually, maybe by his own act, his own sin. And her position is to stand there and watch. It was in his death and his great compassion. It was seen for Mary. Despite his own excruciating pain and anguish, he locked eyes with his mother. The Bible says that he looked at her. These eyes that had gazed into hers as she nursed him, these eyes that had gazed at him while he slept, those eyes that gazed at him while he played, those eyes that watched him become a man, those same eyes that the ones that were admiring him, directed him, laughed with him, they now gazed at him while he was being crucified. And she was unable to change his circumstances. She was totally helpless. It's written in John 19:26, at that moment, Jesus looked at his mother and said, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that moment on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus made certain that his mother would be taken care of. He transferred his responsibility over to John. He trusted John. He knew that John would take care of his mother. Mary was not the first nor the last mother to experience pain or a broken heart. There are mothers in this room who have held their dying child. There are mothers here that have seen the first sign of blood during their pregnancy to indicate that baby, their son or their daughter, was dying. There are mothers who have gotten the call that their child's been arrested again. There are mothers who have learned that the years of teaching on purity have been rejected by their child. There are mothers here who have laid awake at night listening for the front door to open, indicating that their son had returned safely. There's mothers who get the report that their child had cancer. Mothers who answer the phone with the dreadful news that no mother should ever have to hear. See, I believe this is why Jesus made certain that at the cross, his mother would be taken care of. I believe that that message is still true today. It's as if he is saying, I understand. And I've made a way for you to be comforted and cared for just as I did my own mother. God said in Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you. God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten your pain. God says in Isaiah 49:13, shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted one. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. No, God has not forgotten your pain. God's love for you is so deep. He's gone before you and he's made a way. He's made a way for you to be comforted through Jesus Christ. Could I have the worship team come up or whoever's doing the altar call, please? I'm going to open the altars this morning. I want you to know that for those of you who are suffering because your son or daughter has rejected Christ, you've prayed maybe for a very long time for them, and you feel like because they rejected Christ, they've rejected you. I want you to remember Romans 8:34-35. Scripture says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. I want you to know for that son or that daughter that you're praying for, Jesus is interceding as well. Jesus is praying and believing. He has not stopped making intercession for them. You're not alone. For those of you that are hurting because you're worn and you're tired, and you feel like a failure as a mom. Maybe you're having to watch the consequences of your children's decision because of your own mistakes. It's a heavy load for you to carry. But I want to remind you that Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." For those of you that have lost a child and are missing them today, though you may have other children that are your delight, no child will ever replace another. And I want to remind you of Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Your grief is important to God, and He will comfort you. For those of you that have broken relationship with your mother, maybe she rejected you. Maybe she chose not to have a relationship with you. I want to encourage you today. Psalms 27:10 says, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." Your situation might be that you rejected your mother. Maybe the pain of what happened was easier to bury than to face. Maybe you chose to cut that relationship off. I want to encourage you to bring it to the altar this morning. Lay it down. Let the Lord heal you. Let it start right here, right now. A marker this Mother's Day that you laid that down. Psalms 34:17-18 says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them, and He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." For those of you that cannot have children, I want to encourage you that God can give you a host of spiritual children that will bring you such joy. Your barren womb is not an indication of your motherhood. Because within the heart of every woman is a mother, a mother's heart. I pray this Mother's Day will be a day when you do have hope, when God does touch you and heal you, when you feel cherished and you feel loved. I pray that you will find everything you need in His arms, in His love, in His comfort. So the altars are open this morning. In Jesus' name. I just want to say this in closing, that for those of you that have moms and are in relationship with them, my question to you is, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Today, perhaps you sent cards and flowers and you going to take them out to lunch, or what about tomorrow? See, Woodrow Wilson was the one that declared Mother's Day the second Sunday of every month. But God declared every day to be Mother's Day. See, on his calendar, every day you're to honor your mother and your father. And this was to be a command for all generations to come. It's not that every day you need to send flowers, but that'd be nice. But there should be a conscious awareness of the state of your mother every day, a respect and an honor given to her with your words every day. See, the greatest gift a mother could ever receive is the gift of honor from her son or her daughter. It's the greatest gift. So if your mother has passed on, maybe that's no longer possible for you to do that. Find a mother. Find a mother. Carry on a legacy of respect and honor. Treat that woman with dignity and with respect. God may say to you, here's your mom. He may transfer that responsibility over to you. Treat her with love and admiration.
Thank you, Tina.